We started last Sunday morning with a series of messages, Behold the Lamb of God, a very familiar saying that John the Baptizer made as he saw Christ coming. Of all the animals that God made, to my knowledge, there's only two he identified himself with. One was the lion of the tribe of Judah, and the other was a lamb. He only refers to himself as a lion on several occasions, but as a lamb many, many, many thousands of times in the Bible. When God created the earth and he placed upon it a lamb, to me that was a special place in his heart for that little animal. Because every time God looked down upon the earth and saw that little lamb, he thought about his son, Jesus Christ. For that was going to be, I don't guess a nickname or an alias, but that was going to be one of the titles that his son would forever have throughout eternity. I don't know God's name. He said, I am, I am. That was his name. When Jesus came to earth, God took on a new title, and that title was Lamb. He had never been a lamb, the Lamb of God. I don't mean literally speaking, he became a four-legged animal, but the role the lamb played while upon the earth is the role that Jesus Christ would play. And so every time God looked on the mountainside and saw a herd of, not a herd, but a, what do you call a flock? I don't know what you call a bunch of sheep. Anyway, he saw a bunch of sheep, flock. Somebody said, flock of sheep, that's geese. But anyway, saw a lot of sheep out there on the thing. He was constantly reminded as he viewed these sheep of the role that he was going to have in man's redemption. Now last time I said that had God not wanted to redeem man, he could have started all over. By that I mean he could have just, after man fell in the garden, he could have just wiped it out and said, let there be another earth. He could have filled it with all the good things he did the first time around had he not wanted to redeem man. And all God has to do to make a new earth is just say, let it be. God said, let there be a lamb, and there was a lamb. It was done by his spoken word. But if God wants to redeem a man, then God cannot just speak the word and man shall be redeemed. It doesn't work that way. And I said last week that if God wants to redeem man, then God himself must pay the price. God must provide his own lamb. You say, why a lamb? What's that got to do with it? Well, of course, if you know much about the Old Testament laws concerning the sacrifices, you can understand what God meant by comparing himself to a lamb. What did he mean? What's man's problem? Well, he sinned. So what? The wages of sin is death. That's so what? Now you say, I don't want to die. By death, I mean I don't want to perish. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be separated from what's good and what's great and what's wonderful and what's blessed. I don't want to be separated from the life of God. I don't want to be lost. Ah, you need redemption. How do I get it? Do I buy it? Nope, not for sale. Do I earn it? You can't be that good. How am I going to get redemption? And God said the only way you can do that is to have one who is not guilty die in your place. And so man says, well, who will it be? And he looks around. How about you? And God said, no, I won't accept him because he's also condemned to death. We have to find someone who's not guilty. Someone who is not condemned because of sin. Who of us has not sinned? We've all sinned. So I can't be your substitute. So God says, well, since man has no substitute of himself, I will provide one for him. Okay, that's good. But the point is, for God to redeem me, then the substitute is going to have to take the punishment and the death and the pain and the agony that I deserve. A life for a life was God's requirement for redemption. The innocent must die that the guilty can live. Now, every time that a Hebrew man committed a sin, he went before the priest in the tabernacle and he brought along with him his lamb. he was going to lose his lamb. Now that lamb had not sinned, that lamb was innocent, so he would lay his hand upon the head of the lamb and the lamb would die. The life of the blood was life of the lamb was spilled that God might forgive the sinner and that his life might be spared. And that story has been repeated over and over and over and over in the Bible. You know the story of Cain and Abel. That's the first illustration we have in the Bible of any sacrifice of an animal taking place. You know the story that Abel sacrificed, and I believe it was a lamb. It was part of his flock. And Cain came to the altar and sacrificed fruit. Maybe Cain was a farmer. I don't know. But the point is that when it came to the acceptance of the sacrifice, God accepted Abel's and he rejected Cain's. Why? Because nothing can redeem man and give man life but the death of a substitute. That is the theme that God wrote as he talked about the Lamb. And Jesus is called the Lamb of God. The reason being, he is our substitute. And he was able in his sacrifice that correctly depicted that God forgives us on the basis of an innocent substitute dying in our place. You might say in the case of redemption, the cure is as painful as the disease. It hurts just as much to bring about salvation as it does to not have salvation. In other words, God is either going to have to endure the pain or I am. Either I'm going to have to die or the Lamb is going to have to die. But it's equally painful on both of us. It's the same pain for both of us. The medicine is as bad as the ailment. Now, every time the Lamb was sacrificed, the Hebrew would say, as he looked at the Lamb, here's what I deserve. He would say, here is the innocent taking place of the guilty. Now, I said last week that God said he would provide himself a lamb. Now, if you were born a lamb, your future wasn't too bright in the Hebrew world. If you had been born a lamb, you might be real fortunate if the child, or maybe even the owner, selected you as a pet. That means that you wouldn't end up on the altar. Or just maybe you were born blemished. The law was you cannot sacrifice a blemished lamb. It's got to be a perfect lamb. And so that little lamb would say, boy, I escaped it. I'm going to get to kick my heels up and I'm going to live until naturally I pass. Oh, I got away from this. Or maybe you might be the very best lamb in the flock. And you'd be spared for the breeding purposes. He would sigh, man, I got out of it. But all the others, it was just a question of when will my time come? My day is numbered. And especially if for some reason you happen to be a pretty sound lamb and you were a troublesome lamb. Oh, man, you've had it. You wouldn't last very long. You'd probably go to the head of the list, and the next time the owner had to go down to the tabernacle, there's the one I want right there, old troublemaker. He'd pull you out, and down you would go. Now, the beloved sheep and the prized sheep, they usually manage to escape the sacrifice. Sometimes I hear people saying, everybody loved Jesus. Everybody loved Jesus. He was everyone's friend. And he was the kind of person you'd like to have living next door. Why, he would be a pet sheep. He would be a beloved sheep. He'd be a prized sheep. Why, he would never be taken to the altar. Why, Jesus, everybody loved Jesus. You'd never pick him out. Well, God does agree. God says, yes, the sheep that I will supply myself will be my pet sheep. God's own son. Didn't hold him back. Well, we'd hold him back. I'll keep my pet. And God said, I'll sacrifice mine. And then my beloved sheep. And God said, I'll sacrifice my most loved sheep. Well, I wouldn't sacrifice that one, would you? I'd keep that one. That old scoundrel sheep, that old black sheep, I'd get rid of him. But I'd keep my beloved. But God says, no, I'm going to let my beloved go. My most prized sheep. God says, I'm going to let him go. I'm going to send the most prized sheep I have to be the sacrifice. I keep my prize. God says, I don't think like you. I send my very best. Why do you do that, God? It's the only sheep I've got, buddy. It's the only one I've got. There's only one Lamb of God, and I'm going to send him. And he's my pet, and he's my prize, and he's my beloved, and he's my prize. He's the best. He's the only one of God. But I'm supplying my own sheep to redeem you. God said, I'm giving heaven's best to save man's worst. I want you to know when God sent down his prized and pet and beloved lamb, did everybody love that lamb? You know as well as I do, that wouldn't happen. I'm going to read real quickly with you what little time we've got left, and that's not very much. Isaiah 53. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Jesus had very many admirers. I don't think Jesus really had very many friends. You know, there was times he said, I don't have any place to sleep. If there's anything I know of, we got a little old pet dog. And that dog's got it better than I do. Stays in when it's rain, stays in when it's cold. I mean, that dog's got it made. And if there's anything in the world I wouldn't turn that dog out in the cold, it couldn't make it. Didn't know how. But Jesus said, now this is the beloved, the gift of heaven. I don't have any place to sleep tonight. I have no home. You know, God said, I want to follow you, Jesus. He said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. How come? Wouldn't somebody take you in, a lamb like that? No, they didn't want him in his home. Jesus, you remember, he went to the town where the man was possessed of a demon. He was crazy, and Jesus healed him. And then Jesus caused the old demons to go in the herd of pigs. And, of course, Jews are not supposed to grow pigs anyway, raise pigs. That was a no-no, but they were doing a no-no. And the pigs ran off the cliff, and the people who owned the pigs came running out and said, Jesus, we have a request of you. Would you please get out of this town? We just can't afford you. Just get. The quicker the better. Oh, everybody loved Jesus. No, they didn't. One time on the road to Jerusalem, Jesus went through Samaria country, and he sent his disciples on ahead into the hotel. And he said, get me a room. And when they found out Jesus was coming, they said, no room, buddy. We don't want him here. Just tell him to go on down to the next city. And the disciples said to Jesus, do you believe that? Why don't you let us call down fire from heaven and burn them all up? And Jesus said, no, I haven't come to destroy people. I've come to save people. But the point I'm making is, folks don't really love Jesus. Everybody didn't love Jesus. I don't believe very few people had much time for Jesus. Look at Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verse 2 and 3. And I might say folks don't have much time for him now either. Now look at you with it, verse 2. This is talking about Christ. The last part of the verse. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. How many folks really desire Christ? Desire him in their home, desire him in their car, desire him in their life. How many folks really desire Jesus? I bet he'd have a hard time finding a place to stay if he came back to earth today and knocked on doors. And he said, I'm Jesus. And you would know he was. There'd be no joke to it. How many folks would really want it? We'd stammer and stutter, well, you ought to go down and stay with the preacher. He'd be glad to see you. But not me. Verse 3, he is despised and he is rejected of men. Now, why on earth would God send his beloved lamb to earth if the earth's going to treat him like that? How God could love us that much, man, is beyond my comprehension. He sent his best in man in a real sense, and it's just true. He spit on him. I mean, he really spit on him. Man, if I was God, I would wipe this earth clean, just like that. I wouldn't put up with that kind of treatment for my beloved lamb, the best heaven's got. Everybody loves Jesus? No, sirree. He is despised and rejected of men. While more people turn Jesus down, never accept him, and I guarantee you the same is true today. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid. And I find folks today are really trying to hide behind their doors and behind excuses and behind everything. They're hiding from Christ. And we hid our faces from him. Most folks are out. You know, as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, they went out and hid. Man's been hiding ever since. and we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That's pretty strong. See, man does not have the same viewpoint as God does about his lamb. You know, if we held the same view about the Lamb of God that God did, I don't believe we'd ever let him be crucified. We'd have put up a fight against God. Hey, you're not going to crucify my best friend. Disciples, Peter, tried to do that. He said, you just can't die, Jesus. That's the no. I'm not going to let that happen to you. You're a better lamb than that. You're my pet. I'm not going to let it happen to you, Jesus. Pulled out his old sword, and he cut off a soldier's ears. I'm not going to let this wonderful lamb die. I'm going to save him. And Jesus told him, put the sword up before you get yourself slaughtered. He couldn't take on the whole army, because Jesus wasn't going to fight for Peter or with him. But I mean, his idea was, this is my pet lamb. This is my prize lamb. I'm not going to let somebody kill him. And he went to fighting with him, went fighting for him. Well, that's the way you know you'd be. But you know what the crowd said? Crucify him. That's what you do to the lamb that's not the pet, not the prize. That's crucify. We can do without that old lamb. And you know, Pilate, and a lot of scriptures here I'm not being able to give you, but Pilate came out when they said, crucify him. And Pilate said, hey, I got another lamb in here. He's a murderer. I mean, boy, he's a lousy lamb. His name is Barabbas. I tell you what you do. Why don't you just kill this lamb in jail? We're going to get rid of him anyway. He's a nuisance. We done arrested him. So why don't you let us kill him and let Jesus go? Why don't you let us take the sorry lamb and crucify him and let the prize lamb go? And they said, man, we can put up with Barabbas more than we can put up with Jesus. You let Barabbas go. You let that murderer back on the street, but you get rid of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. Isn't that something? And you know what they did? They crucified the lamb they didn't want. They crucified the lamb that they could do without. And they kept that old sorry, good-for-nothing lamb that was a killer. What a trade. And you know, man hasn't changed his attitude about the Lamb of God yet. God said he's heaven's best. Man says he's earth's scourge. Behold the Lamb of God. Every time God looked down and saw the little old lamb, he said, there's my prized son. And man said, I don't want him. I want to get rid of him. Why did the beloved son come? That, to me, is the mystery of all mysteries. All you can say is, because of the love of God. He was rejected by men, and he still is. But for those who are Christians, I want to say I can identify with Peter. He's the pet. He ought to be, brother. And he's the prize. And he's the beloved. He is my Lamb of God that takes away my sin and makes me a child of the Father. He's precious in my sight. Father, we're thankful this day for the mysterious love that you had for man, that you would even want to redeem him, and then to say that you'll supply your own lamb, even knowing that man would not want him, would not accept him, would not appreciate him, but you did it anyway. Father, how you must love the sinner. And we're thankful that you cared that much about all of us, for we're all in the same boat. May we truly appreciate the Lamb of God that we have in our life today. For truly he paid the dearest price that we might live. He died for us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.